And Father, we declare our love for you in this place. We say that above all, we love you. We trust you. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness towards us. Thank you, God, that you love to change and transform our lives. And we welcome you to keep doing that right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Can we thank our worship team? They're amazing. They're so amazing. Love them. Well, welcome to Christ Church. And it's great to have you here this evening. If you've never met me before, let me say my name to you. I'm already communicating really well. It's a good day. It's been a long day. I'm Chris. And it's a pleasure to meet you if we've not met. And I've been here at Christchurch on staff for about 7.5 years and married to Helena, who can't be with us this evening. And I've got two young girls, Jessica and Rafi. And it's just great to be together, you know? It's great to be together. It feels strange to be saying that we just don't know if we'll be here next week, right? I've never thought about that before. I've never had to think about the fact that I might not be able to gather with God's people. And yet here we are. And do you know what? We're making the most of being together, aren't we? Isn't it good? It's good to be together. If you've been around for the last couple of weeks, then you'll know that we've been doing a little 3-week series on giving and generosity, which is sort of all tied into our upcoming Renew project, which is a building project that we're undertaking, hopefully beginning in the summer. And Paul, our vicar, has been leading those sessions and was down to do this session tonight as well, except that he got a cold on Thursday, I think it was, and so he is at home, not with us, and probably the best decision that he's not here, given what's going on. He is absolutely fine, so don't worry. He's just being a good leader and not being here. Yeah, it's good. You know, it's important that he's resting at home as well. So you got me instead, and I'm believing that God's got a word for us tonight, and. I've stepped in a little bit late in the day, and I'm believing that God's got something for us tonight, and I'm going to do my best, my absolute best, to communicate what I feel like God wants to say to us tonight. Brilliant. Why don't you just turn to someone around you and ask them this question. When was the last time that you were lost? And how does it feel? How do you feel how do you react when you get lost? Okay. When was the last time you were lost? And what how do you react / feel when you get lost? You got a couple of minutes to do that, and then I'm coming back. Okay, let's bring it back together. Let's bring it in. Brilliant, well done. Also, let me apologize to those for whom there's a bunch of people in here who heard this morning, so apologies if you're hearing this for the second time today, but you're going to have to hear it. unless you leave the building. Please don't do that. For those of you who know me, you'll know that I'm quite an emotional kind of a person. And bless our second child, Rafi. She has definitely inherited that from me. It's a journey with her, and she's got the emotions too. And to be honest, if we're honest with each other, we know and understand that life is not very often just a straightforward linear journey, is it? Life is full of the ups and the downs and the bumps and all the stuff that comes with being a human being. And that impacts us in a whole bunch of different ways. To be honest with you this evening, I think the last few months for me have been a little bit of an up and down kind of a time. Not like major stuff, but just the bumps, the ups and downs of living life. There's lots of things going on around me and in me, and you know, when I'm emotional, you know, I make the most of it. I was sharing some of this with our staff team a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things that I ended up saying, which I didn't mean to say, but just sort of came out of my mouth, was sometimes for me, clarity is an idol. I discovered this. Clarity can be an idol for me. And maybe some of you can relate to that idea that knowing and understanding what lies ahead of you is a really significant and important thing to you. Like, it's really important that you know exactly what life looks like down there, not just right here. But we know that life is not often like that. But for me, clarity can often be an idol. But the thing is, I want to grow to the point in my faith where I refuse to allow my lack of clarity to overtake and overcome who I know God to be. I want to get to there. I want to refuse lack of clarity and lack of knowing what's going on over here to overtake my faith and belief in who God is and his goodness to me. Because the thing is, when something idolatrous exists in our life, the reality is that often that thing has the ability to overtake our faith and belief in who God is. It's a reason why God is so passionate, one of the reasons why God is so passionate about us worshiping him and only him, and that we have no idols. Because when we worship him and we worship only him, there's a purity and a kind of untampered nature to our relationship with him that can't exist with the presence of an idol also. I read recently that an idol is something you have to check with before you say yes to God. An idol is something you have to check with before you say yes to God. So for me, I've discovered that clarity can be an idol. So I'm right in the middle of this like up and down, higgledy-piggledy emotional journey over the last few months. I'm right in the middle, and God breaks in this crazy way. It's Tuesday the 11th of February, just about a month ago. Tuesday the 11th of February, and I've rushed home to get Jessica, because I need to get her in the car, because I'm taking her to one of her after-school things that she does. So I've rushed home, we get in the car, and I turn the key in the ignition, and the radio comes on, because whoever was last in the car was listening to the radio. Turn the ignition on, radio comes on, and this is what comes out of the radio, okay? These are the words. I turn it on, this is what comes out. The person says, "This is a marathon, not a sprint. It will get worse before it gets better, but we will be guided by the fire." This is a marathon, not a sprint. It will get worse before it gets better, but we will be guided by the fire. I'm like, whoa! Who says that on the radio? And it's like, it's literally like God's voice is like smashes me in the heart. In that moment, I mean, boom, it's God. Weirdly, it turns out that the person who was speaking was a government politician, and he was talking about coronavirus. Weird, right? So then in the car, this slightly crazy moment happens where I'm like, oh my goodness, God has just spoken to me through the radio. And my heart's like going, okay, I need to remember that phrase, because if I forget it, I'm like a bad person. And God's spoken to me. So I'm like, Jessica, grab my phone. And Jessica's 8 years old. And she sat next to me on the front seat. I'm like, grab my phone. You need to write down what God said to me. God just spoke to me through the radio. So she grabs the phone and she's trying to fumble for the words. And I'm like, do you remember what he said? And I was like trying to like put it on her. It's like, your responsibility. It's your fault if I don't remember what God said to me. Not fair at all. And she's scrabbling around for the phone and she's trying to type out the words. And she asks me, Daddy, how do you spell marathon? And I'm like, it doesn't matter how you spell it. Just get it down. And it's a bit of a mad scene in that moment. But she writes it down. Actually, a brilliant opportunity to talk to her about the fact that God speaks to us in funny ways. You know, loads of us in the room, you might be able to say tonight that you feel a bit uncertain. You might feel like you're a little bit lost even. I don't know. But things, whatever the case, things going on in our world right now and in our community are definitely uncertain. There are a lot of lost people, a lot of fearful people walking around our planet right now. And one of the things I want to say this evening is that even that being the case, even that being true, even so, we will be guided by the fire. We, as a community of believers, will be guided by the fire. So my title for this evening is very simply, Guided by the Fire. If you've got a Bible, I'd like you to turn to Exodus chapter 13, please. You can also use your phones if you'd like to, and search for it there if you need to. We will be guided by the fire. Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to read from verse 17. Okay, Exodus 13 from verse 17. I'm going to go for it. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was the shorter way. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Here's our big question for this evening. This is what was going to frame what we're doing tonight. As a community, in an uncertain time, in an uncertain season, and in an unfamiliar place, what does it look like for us to be guided by the fire? That's our big question. Because we can relate to the people of God in this moment tonight. There's a reason why I believe God put these scriptures on my heart for this evening. It's because we can relate to the people of God who at this point in time were entering an unfamiliar season and an unfamiliar place. We can relate to the people of God right now where we are. I'm not going to assume that everyone knows the backstory to this, so I'm just going to take a quick moment to give some context for those of you who don't know the story very well. Before I do that, though, it's important for me to say that fire in the Bible is often a representation of God's presence. So when we talk about being guided by the fire, we're talking about being guided by the presence of God. Fire is often a representation of the presence of God. And you can look at Moses' story and his encounter with the burning bush. That's a representation of God. You could look at this scripture here with the pillar of fire and the guiding presence of God to his people. You could look at the story in 1 Kings 18 where the fire comes down from the mountain and Elijah is battling with the prophets of Baal. You could look at Acts chapter 2 where on the day of Pentecost when they have tongues of fire above their heads. The Bible is full of fire analogies, and they're often representative of the fire of God's presence because it's a representation of him, a manifest presence of God. And as we come to our reading today in Exodus, the people of God have been enslaved in Egypt for a long time, pre this. Okay, they've been enslaved in Egypt for a very long time. They've been crying out to God. They've been groaning and crying out to God, and God has heard their cry. God has heard their cry. Moses comes along and meets God at the burning bush, and in that encounter, in that moment with God, God commissions Moses to be the deliverer of these people out of Egypt and into a land that he has called them to, which we know as the promised land from the rest of the story in scripture. Pharaoh and Moses, so Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, Moses, the leader of God's people, they go back and forth for a whole bunch of time on whether or not Pharaoh is going to let the people go. There's a load of plagues, which is not very nice. Pharaoh suffers significantly personally in this encounter. And it gets to the point where Pharaoh actually decides that he is going to let God's people go, and they start their journey out of Egypt and towards the promised land. The Bible tells us just a bit earlier in Exodus 12 that there are about 600,000 men on foot that are traveling as people of Israel out of Egypt and towards the promised land. And many of you will know and understand already that with women and children, we're looking at potentially about 2 million people that are taking this journey out of Egypt towards the promised land. That's a lot of people to move in one go, right? Like 2 million, potentially 2 million people, plus all the animals. A lot of people to move. They've moved, they've camped out their first place, and now they're about to start their journey. My point number one is this: God guides us in the journey. Point one. God guides us in the journey. I want to read to you verses 17 and 18 again. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Don't we so often want the shortcut journey? Don't we so often just want the quickest route from A to B? We so often want that. I so often just, if I'm going to get somewhere, let's get there the quickest way. It makes sense. It's usually the easiest way, the most direct way. It just makes sense. And yet how many of us in the room today could testify to God's goodness to us in taking the long road? How many of us could testify to God's goodness in the long road? Why does he sometimes take us on the long road? Because the Bible tells us here that they had two options. They could have gone the short road, which would have been much quicker. But God took them around the long way. Why does he take us around the long way sometimes? Well, sometimes it's because we need to learn something. And the people of God in this story, as it continues, and lots of you will understand this, that as the people journey through the wilderness, they had to learn a whole load of things. And so it took them a long time to journey through the wilderness because they had to learn a lot. This is not the case in this story. Sometimes God takes us the long way because he can see something that you can't see. He has a perspective on something that you don't have yet, which is okay, but we need to trust him when he can see something that we can't. What God could see in this situation that the people couldn't was that by taking them around the desert road, which was the longer route, by taking them that way, he was going to help them avoid a battle that they didn't need to face, but he was also going to help them avoid a bad decision. For me, in unfamiliar seasons and unfamiliar places, I am prone to make bad decisions. I don't know about you. But God in this moment, he protects his people by taking them round the long way. He protects them from a physical battle, physical danger, and a bad decision. Don't you love how God just knows us? He knows you. He knows his children so well. And what I love about this moment here is I love that God actually says, and it records it as if God says it out loud. God says, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Which is a wonderful picture for us of the way God is viewing this situation that's happening here. He's like, well, they could go the short way, But if they go that way, they're going to face danger. They're going to face a battle because that road is full of armed Egyptians ready to fight. And they're not ready for war. And if they face war, they might just go back to where they came from. And that's going to be a really bad decision. Sometimes God takes you the long way round, not just to protect you from a battle, but to protect you from yourself. Because sometimes you're prone to making bad decisions. And sometimes God's going to take that out of your hands. But sometimes that involves the desert road, which is a longer way around. Some of us today in this room are on the long road. Some of you are going the desert road right now. God is leading you along the desert road. And you're really annoyed about it. And you're frustrated by it too. Because you'd much rather go the quick way. Because it makes sense, right? Except he can see something that you can't see. He has a perspective that you don't have. And you have to trust him, not just when things are easy and quick, but you have to trust him on the desert road as well. Trust him in the desert road. If you find yourself on the desert road today, don't assume that you are without his presence. His presence is in the desert. His presence is on the long road, not just the short road, not just the quick wins. Let's also be aware, please, especially in our current climate, let's be aware that as God guides us on the journey, miraculous things are possible. Yep. Is everyone okay? Yeah, you okay? All right. Just had to check. Miracles are possible on the journey. Israel found that out on their journey through the wilderness. It was a long old road, but they saw a lot of miracles. And I reckon in our current climate, one of the things we need to be doing is praying for miracles. We need to be praying for miracles on the journey because God wants to break through in an amazing way. And I really believe that with all my heart. Point number one, God guides us on the journey. Amen. All right. Number two, God guides us in the darkness. God guides us in the darkness. Something struck me yesterday as I was reading these verses that I'd not thought about in this particular way before. And what struck me was the idea that the pillar of cloud went ahead to guide them on the way by day, but the pillar of fire at nighttime was given to them as a light. And the Bible tells us that the reason it was given to them as a light was so that they could travel by day or by night. Okay? That they could travel by day or by night. As in they could actually move at nighttime as well as in the daytime. That they could actually make progress in the nighttime as well as the daytime. That maybe they could even take ground at the nighttime and in the daytime. There's a really interesting symbolism for me here about the notion that the pillar of fire at nighttime was given them to guide them so that they could travel in the darkness. What does the nighttime represent to you or us? What is the nighttime? It's definitely darkness sometimes, isn't it? The nighttime often represents dark. For some of us, sometimes, not all the time, it also represents rest. That's good too. But sometimes, and I think this is particularly cultural for us, the nighttime also represents being stationary. It's often a stationary place. A place where we're not moving. Which is not true for everyone. And I want to say that because a lot of you work night shifts. But generally, A place of nighttime is often a place of state being stationary. And this pillar of fire was given to them as a light so that they could move in the nighttime. What time of day did the people of God travel through the Red Sea miraculously on dry ground? Nighttime. They moved through the Red Sea during the night. 2 million people, potentially, on dry ground. And what I love about the way the Bible describes it, and we don't often get this from our picture, particularly from films, the Bible describes it as God pushes back the sea all night. All night with the wind. He's pushing it back all night, all night. And the people are traveling through on dry land. It isn't this moment where the staff goes and the sea just goes. It's not like that. God is working in the nighttime. He's working all night. He's driving back the sea all night so they can get through on dry land. God is working in the nighttime. He is working in the darkness. God is not afraid of the dark. He's not afraid of the darkness in our world right now. He's not even afraid of the darkness that might exist in you where you sit today. He's just not afraid of it. He's working in the nighttime. He's working in the darkness. He's taking ground in the darkness. He's making progress in the darkness. He doesn't stop working. He doesn't sleep. He's always working. And so even right now, in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our fear and our panic and our anxiety, and in the midst of a culture now that is in a very uncertain season and an unfamiliar place, God is working even in the darkness and even in the nighttime. He doesn't rest. He doesn't sleep. He's just working. That should be of great support to us. Because when I'm sleeping, he's working. When I'm resting, he's still working. God is working in the nighttime. So what does it look like for us as a community in an unknown season and in an unfamiliar place to be guided by the fire? Part of it for me is that we adopt and foster a belief system that says that God is working even in the darkness. He's working in your darkness. He's working in the darkness on a global scale. And he wants to use you to be the fire in the darkness. And like it or not, this is an opportunity for us to be a light to our world. And I don't want to be cliche about that, because everyone around the planet who's in my position today is saying exactly the same thing. But it's just true. You are called, I am called to be a beacon of hope to a world that is currently stuck in a very dark place. So point number one, God guides us on the journey. Point number two, God guides us in the darkness. Point number three, God guides us in the opportunity. I'm going to just switch over to a different bit of scripture for a moment. I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 8. Verse 14 says, for those who are led, as in guided, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. For the rest of our short time together, I want to get as practical as I can with you. Those who are led, those who are guided by God are the children of God. And if you're led by God, you have to understand that you didn't receive a spirit that leads you to fear. Now, fear, and that word there, fear, in the original translation, literally means to flee. It's all about flight. And what Paul is trying to get our heads around as he writes this in Romans is that you did not receive a spirit which led you to flee away from God. Instead, the opposite is true, because the spirit you received is the spirit that brought about your adoption into sonship, which by very definition draws you towards him. It draws you towards his heart. And yeah, we have a whole load of people around us who are fleeing in any which way. And I want to pray that a whole load of people receive the Spirit that might bring them into adoption to sonship. That they might, for even for the first time, draw close to the heart of the Father in a way that they might never have ever done before. And only the Spirit of God can do that, but you can really help him. Because you can be a beacon of hope. You can be the fire of God's presence to the world around you right now. You can be. And we're going to pray for you about that in a minute. We're going to commission you all to leave, empowered by the Spirit, to go and be the fire wherever you are. So let's pose our initial question again. As a community entering an unfamiliar season and an unfamiliar place, what does it look like for us to be guided by God's presence? And it seems, and it's kind of easier from our passages in Exodus for the people of God to be guided by God because they can literally see him in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, which would be awesome. It would be amazing. I really want to see that at some point. I don't know when, even if it will be on in my time on earth. But at some point, I want to watch like the video in heaven of it or whatever. But they got to see it. Like, it's so much easier. But what you have that they didn't have was the gift of intimacy. You have the very presence of God, the fire of God, the Spirit of the living God that lives inside of you. You have the gift of intimacy, and they didn't have that. And the gift of intimacy is so much greater than anything else. Because from that place of intimacy, you can change the world. You can absolutely change the world. The New Testament is clear. You are now the light of the world. It's like a baton change. Jesus passes on the baton. So you're the light of the world. You're the fire. You're the light of God's presence in our world right now. And you know what? God absolutely wants to use you. He absolutely wants to change and transform what's going on in your world. He absolutely wants to do that. But he also absolutely wants to use you out there. He absolutely wants to use you. And there are a whole bunch of ways, you know, like get creative. Do you know what I mean? You can be creative. I'm praying tonight, and I'll be praying beforehand. I'm praying tonight that God gives you, some of you, solutions to problems that the world faces. Literally. There's some people around you that have got significant problems. And I'm praying that God gives you solutions. Because I believe he can do it. I saw this, I was listening to the radio this morning, and there was this girl on there. You might have seen the article, but this girl in Cornwall who has developed this postcard. And this is such a simple idea. She's made a postcard, and on it, she's just going to post it through people's doors, and she's like, hey, are you self-isolating? This is who I am. This is my number. I can do these things for you if you would like. And I can even just chat to you on the phone if you need to chat to someone. Boom. Yeah? So good. Just through the door. How easy is that? Or you can get, I was talking this morning about the next door app. Anyone on Next Door? A few people? Like, check that app out. It's called Next Door, and it can connect you to people via the app or on your street and in your community. And maybe you can just connect with people through that. Maybe you can actually be saying to people, hey, if you need anything, this is where I am, this is who I am, blah, 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 blah. Maybe cook some extra food. I don't know what it is. Just, come on, man. This is an opportunity for us to be the light of the world in front of people's faces, maybe in a way that we've never had the opportunity to be before. And it does seem crazy, and I'll be honest about this, it does seem crazy to say that we just don't know if we'll be here next week. But we don't. I've never had to think about that before in my life. I've never had to ponder the idea that we might not be able to meet as a corporate body. But that is the place that we find ourselves in. And this time next week, we may not be here. In which case, what are we going to do? Do you know what I mean? There's so much creativity available for us and so much opportunity. God guides us on the journey. God guides us in the darkness, and he guides us in the opportunity. Let's stand to our feet because I want to pray. And I feel the first thing that I want to pray for is an empowering of the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for an empowering of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things, sadly, that we can't do is lay hands on you. The regulations do not permit it, which is absolutely fine because we don't need to do that. You can lay hands on yourself, and that's just as good. But I think I am going to ask people to move tonight, and we didn't do this morning, but I feel like it's a little bit different this evening. I'm going to ask people to move. And I don't want to, sometimes you throw out these blanket kind of calls to ministry and you kind of think, oh, that might be for everyone. I don't want to assume that this stuff is for everyone at all. So please be authentic with where you're at. We're going to start in this place, but we're going to move to a different place in our prayer because we also want to pray for anyone who is feeling fearful and anxious and actually really worried about what's going on right now, of which there are going to be a whole load of people in the room tonight, okay? So what I'm not doing is ignoring the fear, okay? We're going to get there, but I want to pray for the empowering of the Holy Spirit first, okay? So what I want to do, I'm going to move that in a sec, but what I want to do is, if you feel like you would like specifically to pray for that, then I want you just to move into this space in front of me now and just come now, and then we'll make sure that, well, we're not going to pray for you with laying on of hands, but we're going to just bless you as you do it, okay? You can move now. And you're not moving for me, all right? Just if you want to move, move. Just do what you want to do. Great. This is what I just feel is really important to do first. Okay. Great. And you just keep coming. It's fine. You don't have to... This isn't your only chance. if it's you and you're standing here and you're wanting to be ministered to in that way, all I'm going to ask you to do is place a hand on your heart, and we're going to just pray for you. On your heart, yeah. And church family, you can be praying for these guys, you know. There's a stirring in these guys that is important for us to pray for. And what we prayed for this morning was this idea that God would stoke the fire inside your heart, that he would stoke it. Okay? And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you now. We welcome your presence to come and to empower people and to stir up what you've placed within inside them already. We pray for an empowering of your presence upon these people, that they might go from this place and see transformation in the people around them and in situations around them. Holy Spirit, would you empower now in Jesus' name? Yeah. That's it. Now you guys can just stay there, okay? You just wait and God will do whatever he wants to do. I would like to pray also for anyone for whom actually you connect with that idea of solutions. Like you're someone who feels like you would like solutions, that even maybe that you have solutions to problems right now that the world faces. I would like you to move as well, if possible, please, so we can pray for you. And as you do that, I'm gonna pray. That's it. You just keep moving. That's it. Brilliant. Yeah. Just find a space. It's all right. Yeah. And the rest of you guys who are not here at the moment, please don't disengage right now. Please pray for the people that are wanting this particular prayer, okay? And Holy Spirit, we invite you now in all your creativity, Because God, you are so creative. In all your creativity, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and give solutions into the hearts of your people for significant problems that our world face. We pray for dreams and for visions and for pictures and for Bible references and for your voice. And we pray for the breadth with which you move into the hearts of the people standing here right now. We ask that solutions to problems would be a part of these guys' next few days, even right now. Yeah. Holy Spirit, would you begin to speak to hearts right now? In Jesus' name. That's it. And for you guys, it's the same. Just stick where you are. Don't move. You just keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to invite the worship team just to begin to make a move up towards the front. As they do, I want to begin to pray for anyone for whom you feel fearful and anxious right now. I'm not going to ask you to move. Don't worry. Okay? But we absolutely know that there'll be people in the room tonight who are feeling fearful and anxious. Let's take a moment to pray for that. And if that's not you, I'd love you to be praying for someone around you that you might know, who you know is currently struggling with fear and anxiety with regards to what's going on right now. But I thank you, Father, that we did not receive a spirit of fear, but we received a spirit that brought us into adoption to sonship. And by that spirit, we can cry, Abba, Father. You draw us close to your heart, God. And I pray for anyone in this room right now who's feeling fearful and feeling anxious, I pray that you would draw them closer than ever towards your heart. That you would raise up people in this room who can literally cry, Abba, Father, in times of trouble and in times of need. We ask, God, that you would be driving out fear in this place by your love. And you know, the Bible says it's his perfect love that drives out your fear. And so, God, we ask for your love. And I want to pray now, if you're in that place where you're feeling fearful, I want to pray that the love of God would meet you right now in a way that it hasn't done maybe for a while. Because it's the love of God that's going to drive away the fear. That's right. Yeah. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. What we're going to do now is and guys at the front, just stay where you are, okay? You don't have to move anywhere unless you want to. You just hang out where you are. We're going to just begin to wrap things up. We're going to just worship for a bit and just see where we get to. If you need to disappear, it's absolutely fine. Don't worry. But we're just going to keep going a little while longer. We're going to turn all of this stuff, all this prayer and what God said through his word, we're going to go turn it back through and into our worship again. Okay? That's what we're going to do right now. And then we'll see where we get to. Is that okay? All right. Let's worship for a little while.